It's time!
You're listening to Pound for Pound, ringside for all things MMA and boxing on WFUV Sports.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into yet another installment of Pound for Pound. I am going to be your A-host for this week, Mahdi Dembele. Like a good left hook and jab, I have with me Zachariah Cordova and Rich Mancuso, our special guest for this week's installment. And Rich is my type of guy. He's just a meat and potatoes type of guy. No theatrics, no special effects, just all boxing and MMA. That's what else can you ask for? But before we get this episode started, I just want to ask, how are you guys doing today?
Doing good, man. Doing good. I'm sorry. I'll let you go first. I'll let your ass go first, of course.
I'll keep it in the ring. That's what I like to do.
Keep it in the ring and beat. Keep it in the ring indeed. Meat and potatoes, like I told you, my type of guy. All boxing, no games. We're going to start off here, and we're going to jump into both sports. But first, I wanted to talk a little bit of UFC. 304 is coming soon right at you. Dak, I know you're not particularly excited. One of your guys that you don't like is going to be headlining. Bilal Muhammad, he's going to be challenging Leon Edwards, UFC welterweight champion, for the strap there. I mean, guys, just to dive right into it, is there anything we see in that particular fight? What are we most excited for? And do we think Bilal Muhammad could actually get it done?
Oh, man, you say I'm not excited. That's a little bit of a lie. I am always excited for any event that's coming up. Yeah, it's always an exciting fight week. Is always a different feel for me. Whether it's Bilal headlining a card or we got somebody else, I'm always excited. But this match in particular, I feel like is very interesting because we're getting a matchup where I feel like Leon is getting a style that doesn't suit him as well in Bilal Muhammad, a guy who could do a little bit of everything. He could grapple, he could strike. He's relentless in terms of cardio, and he's gonna go for the win no matter what it takes. He's not a guy, neither of them are really guys that finish fights in particular. But I do think that this weekend we may get something a little bit different, because sometimes when you get these guys that are so used to going to a decision, you maybe don't want to risk it and put in the judge's scorecard. So I'm excited for this weekend, guys. I don't know much more to say about it besides, I don't know, man. Bilal's finally getting that title shot, and it's been a long time coming for him. So I'm excited to see what happens. Also, a really good co-main event. Just the whole card is stacked, even though it is a really late one in Manchester. Couldn't be more excited for it.
Rich, anything to add? I mean, it's a stacked card at the top. I mean, like, Bilal Muhammad. I mean, do we actually believe that he could get it done here? And what's with all this Bilal Muhammad hate? Is it just the decisions? But what else do you think it stems from?
There's always a buzz, you know, with those guys. There's always a buzz in UFC. That's why that sport appeals to demographics and why it's doing very well. Because these guys like to hype it up. And you know what I like is it's not all social media. They're out there. Yeah. So these guys are on social media mavens like fighters are boxing. So, yeah, you know, I mean, there's a buzz to UFC and two guys like that. As much as they would have been for Conor McGregor, even a Nate Diaz, you know. And these are the guys now that are leading UFC MMA to the forefront. So, yeah, and that should be good in the octagon. I think... as Zach mentioned, striking, you know, you're going to see more, a lot of that with those two. I haven't observed them as much as I would with two fighters in a ring, but what I've seen is striking. And, you know, if you could strike well, you're going to win in the cage, you know.
Again, I absolutely agree. I mean, like, if we, we're looking for life after one Conor McGregor, I think that's been the toughest part for the UFC. But there's been a bunch of guys that step up. One of those guys being, yes, Bilal Muhammad, and he has struck his way or strike the victory, Zach. And a lot of other people, again, you say you don't like it, but I know the feeling that's there. But he deserved his shot. I mean, like, guys like Damian Maia that he's left for dead, and he's built up a resume that, yes, that has come by decision. But who's to say that he can't beat Leon Edwards, who's also an excellent striker with very sneaky, good takedown defense? But Bilal Muhammad might be here to stay, and I don't know if I'm necessarily against it. I'm going to take Leon for this, but don't sleep on one Bilal Muhammad. And trust me, it's going to be a very, very fun title run, particularly for me. I don't know about the rest of you guys. But Zach, do we have any official predictions for this one?
Oh, man. I feel like it's tough because it's closer than people think. We saw the first fight and got a little preview of what we're going to be seeing this weekend because we saw a round of it already, and it looks like Leon was getting the better of Bilal on the feet. Bilal couldn't really implement any sort of the grappling or takedown, because Leon's just too good at it. His past two opponents now have been some of the best grapplers in the UFC. He's faced Kamaru Usman twice now, and then he faced Colby Covington back-to-back. So I have no doubt in Leon's ability to stop the takedown and defensively grapple, even offensively grapple. He's the first guy to ever take down Kamaru Usman in the UFC, I think even in his entire MMA career. Yeah. So I have full confidence with Leon and his defensive grappling. I don't think he uses any offensive grappling, because when he's fighting Bilal, he does have the edge in the striking. And if he wants to win, he's got to keep it there. So I think he's able to do it in this matchup. I do think Bilal is going to give us a little something we haven't seen, though, because the title fight. This is what he's been wanting. This is what he's been gunning for so long. He's on this huge win streak now, and it finally took him to win. I don't even know how many fights in a row. I think he's at 12. To finally get the shot. So
exactly.
It's a once in a lifetime thing for him. And I think Bilal is going to try to give it a little extra this weekend. However, I just think he's going to come up short, but I would not be shocked if Bilal somehow found a way to get in there. I wouldn't say finish, but somehow go in there and outpoint Leon. So we will see. And to clarify, I don't dislike Bilal Muhammad. I dislike his fight style. I think Bilal Muhammad is an amazing human being. I saw his whole story with saving that kid from Gaza and bringing him to the U.S. I think he's an incredible human being.
Yes.
Not a fan of his fight style. It's a little boring for me.
Rich, do we think Bilal's fight style gets it done?
No, I want to keep hearing Zach's analysis. Is that he should be in the cage. he knows his MMA.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. No, I got my limited knowledge of Edwards. And he appeals to me. Mm-hmm. I just like his whole style.
Yeah.
You know, to me, he likes to grapple and he likes to strike. And I think, you know, that, like, again, I think you're going to see a good one, you know?
It's going to be an excellent fight indeed there. Again, Leon Edwards is the favorite of Bilal Muhammad, a very, very sneaky underdog. Ladies and gentlemen, do not sleep on the decision, Bilal Muhammad. That's going to be his new nickname for now going forward. But if you look down this card, there's going to be another great fight, a fight that eludes one Tom Aspinall as he takes on Curtis Blaydes. Tom Aspinall, the fastest rising star in the heavyweight division, but he does have to avenge this one fight. Curtis Blaydes gets injured early in that fight, and he loses it, right? And ever since then, he's been on an absolute tear. You talk about him being the next great thing in heavyweight history, really. And he's looking to get this one back. I mean, Tom Aspinall, very, very quick hands, moves as fast as he does for a guy that size 6'2", 6'3", 200 and whatever pounds, and moves like water, basically. And on the other side of it is Curtis Blaydes, right? Outside of John Jones, perhaps the second best wrestler in the division, everything that you want top to bottom. Guys, what do you see here? Does Tom Aspinall continue his streak, or is Curtis Blaydes going to forever be a hurdle that he can't overcome?
But, you know, guys, are you going to see John Jones and Piera if Piera decides to go to the heavyweight division?
That's a good one.
He wants
too.
To do that. That's and that came one. Out this week. Mm-hmm. And that was open to discussion. I think he wants to do one other fight before he decides to do that. But I think that's inevitable. You're going to see those two. And Pierre is going to go for that record. All right. Three-time champ, UFC heavyweight champ. I think it's coming. I don't know if this, you might see that in the fall, late fall. Mm-hmm. If not early next year, but I think you're going to see that.
But do you think a Tom Aspinall win kind of derails all of that? Maybe he gets to
It's a similar path to like they do in boxing, you know. Yeah, something like that changes the whole plan, but that doesn't mean something like that or something else won't happen. They, you know, especially with UFC with Dana White, you can expect anything, you know. And they're hot. They go with the fans want. I like to always look at the parallel with boxing and UFC. And I like to see what the differences are. In particular, what I love about UFC is they make the fights.
Yeah.
What the fans want to see, where boxing doesn't do it. And that's why UFC has gotten this popular stage right now. They haven't even reached a peak yet. You know, with the ESPN deal, whatever they got. There's a big difference there. They know how to work to put the fights together. You don't have what they have in boxing called Alphabet Soup Organization. They don't have that. That works.
Yeah, and let me tell you this, because I think that this is interesting. You bring up Alex Pereira and possibly fighting John Jones. And I think if Curtis Blaydes is able to get a win this weekend, that makes it very possible, because Curtis Blaydes is somebody that John Jones has trained with in the past. I think he still actively trains with him every now and then. It gives John every excuse not to fight the number one contender. It's all of a sudden, well, what's the biggest fight? What's the money fight? Alex Pereira is the money fight right now, because who doesn't want to see that? Who doesn't want to see Alex get a chance to try to become a three-division champ the first time in the UFC? And Alex Pereira is one of the biggest stars in the world right now. One of the biggest stars in the UFC right now. He's become kind of like the face of the company since his arrival here at the UFC. So it's interesting to think of, but Curtis Blaydes getting through that and winning this weekend is a tough ask, because Tom Aspinall, you bring it up, the wrestling, the fluid movement. He's a 265er who moves like a welterweight. And He has just about everything in his back pocket. He's black belt jujitsu. He's incredibly, incredibly fast at the striking and powerful. We saw him drop Sergey Pavlovich, one of the scariest guys in that heavyweight division, with something that didn't even look like he was throwing it with nasty, nasty intent. He was just putting a jab in he was putting a 1-2 out there and landed it flush and drops Pavlovich with not something he landed super, super hard. And it just speaks to the power that this guy has. But last time Curtis Blaydes is out, did something similar. Jailton Almeida trying to take him down, holding onto his legs, and he puts the guy out with hammer fist. So both of these guys have tons of power in their hands. But I do think that this one leads towards Aspinall. He's a far more athletic fighter here. He moves so much more fluid. His grappling is just as good as Curtis Blaydes. He can defensively grapple. He could stop a takedown. If it does go to the ground, Tom's jiu-jitsu has proven to be very devastating at times. He's really, really good at grabbing a sneaky submission if he needs to in transitions or anything that arises. But when it's on the feet, because we know every single fight starts on the feet, and Curtis Blaydes more recently has welcomed the back and forth on the feet, I think Tom Aspinall gets the better of him quickly. And it would be one of the first times that Tom Aspinall has made out of the first round, I think, in maybe his entire UFC career. I don't think he's gone very many. I don't think he's gone to a second round. Maybe he's gone once. I don't remember exactly. All I know is the Tom Aspinall fight, when he's out there, it doesn't last long.
I mean, you kind of scared me to start off your point, Zach, when you mentioned Curtis Blaydes before Tom Aspinall. And I'm going to go ahead and agree with you here. Tom Aspinall is something of a spectacle. When you're dropping guys in the first round, and I think it's only one time he's been to the second round. I don't remember who exactly. But 6'5", 262 pounds is usually what he is after he and he moves like he's a 185er. Like, it's so ridiculous, the speed and fluidity that this guy has, and the power. Sergey Pavlovich kind of came at him with like zombie hands, but the fact that he was able to just knock him out with a punch that he didn't even put all his mustard in, it was just it looked like a shot with a regular amount of power. And the implications that a win with like this would do for Tom Aspinall, he's kind of been pushed to the back burner with John Jones being in the division and Alex Pereira being the fastest rising star threatening to move up. But Tom Aspinall, at the very least, with a win over Curtis Blaydes, could make this a three-headed monster of himself, John Jones, and Alex Pereira. And who's to say that he's the third guy there? Maybe, I don't know, maybe he is able to get the better of an older Jones, or maybe he catches Alex Pereira before Pereira catches him. a win like this, the one win that really eludes him throughout his young and illustrious career, 17 wins and 17 fights, excuse me, 14 wins in his career. The one fight that eludes him, if he's able to get this back, he's playing with house money. So I'm going to go with the guy who has the rocket ship attached to his back. Tom Aspinall is going to get it done against Curtis Blaydes. If Blaydes isn't able to take him down, I think it's going to be in the first round. That's going to be my official pick. Zach, do we have a round?
I think I'm going to go Tom Aspinall. I don't see him losing, and I think that heavyweight is in a completely different and scary world if Curtis Blaydes wins. No knock to Curtis Blaydes, but I think that John Jones is going to get his excuse to retire, maybe go take a Pereira fight and retire. But if Curtis Blaydes wins, I feel like the heavyweight division may be a little doomed. But I do have one question that I do want to ask you guys before we get Ridge's prediction is, do you think that this would count? Because a lot of people have mentioned that, you know, this being the interim title and everything, and Tom Aspinall being active, defending the interim belt before John Jones even defends the undisputed belt. A lot of people are saying this is an undisputed title sense. If Tom Aspinall wins this weekend, people are viewing him as the champion of heavyweight and not John Jones. So what are your guys' thoughts on that?
At very worst, because yeah, Rich, if you got a point, you could go ahead.
No, I think it could be up for grabs. You don't know what stakes are involved, you know, when it comes down to it. And you don't know what anybody's thinking is. See, and again, I it doesn't work like boxing. You have an interim in boxing all the time, champion, but it works differently in UFC standards. But I'm going to go back to what I'm saying. Listen, to me, the legitimate champ is John Jones. Mm-hmm. All right, and until further words, no, that's the guy. And I think the fight that MMA fans want to see, and it comes down to what I mentioned earlier, guys, would be Pereira and Jones. That's the fight on the calendar that everyone wants to see, and I think that's inevitable. It will happen no matter what happens before. So that's going to be the discussion, nothing else.
Nothing else. I mean, that's bull. I mean, what I will say is this. I think with an
unless you want to talk Edwards and McGregor, if that ever decides to happen, but you don't know what kind of McGregor's head is.
I'd say this about the one Tom Aspinall. I'll say if he's able to beat Curtis Blaydes, because the court of public opinion is a very, very valuable thing in sports, right? Dana listens to the fans, and he generally gives them what they want. If Tom Aspinall goes out and beats Curtis Blaydes, at worst, he's a number one contender, but not just a regular number one contender. I think he's more so think John Jones and Daniel Cormier, right? I'm the one on this podcast who always says, I just got to see you beat John Jones, right? If I don't see you beat John Jones, then I'm going to assume that you don't beat John Jones because he's the greatest fighter in the history of the promotion. But if you're able to get the court of opinion to turn against you, think, I guess, Alexander Volkanovski against Islam Makhachev the first time around. If you start to turn heads where people are on your side and say, no, this is a champion, then you really become the not just the boogeyman, but really you get to dictate. Even if you don't have the official strap, you get to dictate what the landscape looks like. Again, you put yourself within a three-headed monster in which you don't necessarily come last. I mean, again, like I said, Tom Aspinall, at the very least, will be playing with house money. He'll have that Daniel Cormier effect where we'll have the hearts of everyone there. And I just think it's only upside from here. So, Zach, to answer your question, I think he's a number one contender from that instant on.
I'm going to pose a question to both of you guys, and I want to ask you right now, who do you think the top MMA/UFC fighter is right now, in your opinion?
Active or just any time?
Active.
Damn. I'll go pound for pound. I'll say Makhachev. I think the last fight against Dustin Poirier kind of, I know he skipped the line a little bit, but I think the resume is getting deeper and deeper. Last fight against Poirier was a very, very impressive, not just name, but it was a good fight. I have to give it to Makhachev. I think he's number one.
I think that's fair. I think it's definitely Makhachev, or it's hard to not say Alex Pereira at this point, because the resume in such a short time he's been in MMA is just unlike anything else. Former champion, two belts now, two divisions, knocking everybody out who's been in front of him. It's hard to say he's not the most on fire guy in MMA right now, but when I'm talking about the best overall, most skilled guy, I gotta go with Islam Makhachev. He's grappling, he's unreal. His striking is incredibly underrated. A lot of power in his hands and patience, creativity, and just smoothness and fluidity when he strikes. It's unlike most Dagestanis that you see come out of that region, especially the guys who are more grappling heavy, don't have that level of striking. Is incredibly calculated, incredibly tactical, and grappling is unstoppable.
Vieira, that's my guy, without a doubt. I could give John Jones some credit as well, but to me, it's Vieira. And he's going to go for that heavyweight title as well, make history.
Yeah.
And he's going to go down as an all-time great.
I have a question. Do we not think that Tom Aspinall is kind of on that trajectory? Maybe not at that high of a level. Alex Pereira is knocking everybody out. But Tom Aspinall, he's getting them out of there quickly. First round. I mean, like, he's a star in his own right. I think the hiatus is kind of what pushed him to the back. But if he stays as consistent as Alex, as he's getting as many fights, he stays active. I mean, like, he could very well be. He's only 31.
But the guys, but also that a Pereira is not just using the punch. He's got the leg and the toe or whatever he's got, the foot. And that's become his other weapon.
Yeah.
And come on, you know, and I think people, you know, guys are going to be looking at that to go in the cage with him, but I still believe that right now he's number one. And he's also going to be tough to beat.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think a lot of MMA fans are a little reluctant to try to give him that title as the best fighter in MMA because he's a kickboxer. He's the guy who came over from kickboxing, and he's maintained that style. He doesn't really do anything else but kickbox. And the thing is everybody's saying they want to take him on. They want, I want to stand with Alex. I can prove that I'm a better striker than him. Everyone who said that up to this point has gotten knocked out by him, and not just knocked out, but flatlined, like sent into orbit. And it's proven itself over and over again. You can't stand in front of that man. You can't stand in front of him. And I'm curious to find out if the power translates over to heavyweight. I think it does. I think it easily does. And I'm curious to see how it goes in a matchup where he's fighting against a John Jones or a Tom Aspinall, where they are incredible grapplers who have a lot of weight on him. So how does he deal with that? I guess we got to find out. That's how greats are made. That's how legends are made in the sport. You got to overcome things that are a little tougher than a tougher task to solve, I guess you could say.
What I will say about the UFC going forward after 304 is that heavyweight, regardless of who's at the top, is in a very, very good place. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to switch over from the octagon into the ring. August 3rd brings us a huge, huge opportunity for one Terrence Bud Crawford as he takes on Israel Madrimov in his first fight in his campaign at 154 pounds. He moved up from 147. He has Boots and is calling him out, right? Telling him to come back down. I mean, he's talking about a Canelo fight at 168. I want to go to where that guy is, and he's undisputed there. I want to go and get him. If Terrence Bud Crawford, but now he's at 154, which is a very, very tough division. You look at Sebastian Fundora, Tim Zhu. Can Bud Crawford become three times undisputed in this new division? What do we think? And what do we see in this Madrimov fight? Rich, I'm starting with you.
Oh, Terrence, pound for pound, maybe next to Canelo. It could be debatable who is it Terrence or is it Canelo. This is a division where I think Terrence Crawford's going to show why he reigned at 147. They're going to do it at 154 as well. He wins on August 3rd. It's a Saudi Arabian season. They're debuting in the States, which is good for sport because they have a reign on the sport. And Terrence Crawford's going to show that 154, you know, from there on in, I don't know where he's headed. I but right now, 154 and possibly, and they keep talking about now about Bruce Jennings already for Terrence, which would be a bomb. I want to see that. I want to see that. But this is a good test for Terrence and what he could be for. We wanted to be. Because he can handle that weight. He handled it easily.
Yeah.
He was already above 147 when he was fighting at that weight anyway.
Yeah.
When he unified those titles. So, well, no fighter comes in at the weight they contracted for anyway.
Yeah.
Is an old school guy like me, the advocate of weighing the fight the same day. Which
same
day. Never do that. Though, but
same day. And they should weigh. Yeah.
Excuse me, guys. This was a good debut for Terrence Crawford at 154. On the Zone, pay-per-view. Good one. Good card, too.
Yeah.
Good card. Andy Ruiz on it. Yeah, and Morales on it. I mean, it's a good card, you know?
Yeah, Zach.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry, Zach. 2 seconds really before you jump in. Israel Madrimov is no slump. I mean, like, he has power in both hands. No. You talk about Terrence Crawford having power in both hands. Israel Madrimov, naturally bigger guy. I mean, his footwork's exceptional. So, Zach, do you see anything in this fight? How does Buck Crawford fare?
Man, this is an interesting fight. You know, just to go back to that point of how good of a card this is, I have loved with, I believe this is another iteration of the Riyadh season and what they've done down there in Saudi Arabia in terms of constructing the arenas and everything.
Yeah.
It's so great for the sport of boxing because I think that we're finally starting to get, as fight fans, is whether you're an MMA or boxing fan, we're starting to get exciting big names. We're trying, the thing that we've wanted for so long, big names fighting big names in some of the biggest spots in fighting, and it's always exciting when we get a card.
That's cut you off, but you know that these are what I call all the time. When people read my material, and I do, and I even when I put it on my YouTube show as well, I call them the kings and princes, and they are because they've got the money, and the promoters are going where the money is, so they have the capability of putting on a super show like this in a week from Saturday. And they have the capability of taking any party they want if the promoters want to work with them. They're boxing aficionados, as I say. They love it, and they got the money to do it. To get all the big names to do it there. Now they're coming into the States, which to me is not a threat, but it's going to force the promoters in a good way now get your act together. Give the fans the fights they want, because these guys are here. They've arrived. They're in the States now. We're not just Saudi Arabia. They're in the States. This is the first of many because Top, they announced this week. I don't know if you guys know. They're doing a series of 18 boxing shows between the rest of this year and all of next in the United States. A lot of them are going to be with Top Rank, 12 of them, which would be on ESPN as well. So, you know, I mean, they're in the right direction. Why I call them the kings and princes, and you'll see more of Terrence Bud Crawford on there, and you'll probably see the Janeiro going there because he does whatever he wants. It's a major, major thing to have them promoting in the United States.
Yeah, no, definitely. I fully agree, and that's one of the things that I've been asked about in terms of people who are strictly boxing fans and they don't watch really any UFC or any MMA. They ask, well, why is UFC doing so well right now? Why is it seems to be doing better than boxing sometimes? Well, the best fight the best. The people get what they want in terms of fights. And it's a great thing to see that finally starting to transpire in boxing. And, you know, despite a lot of it, his antics, I bring it up a lot. Ryan Garcia, I feel like, has a lot. People got to thank him a lot for this because he's one of the people who, I don't want to say started it, but he's one of the people who calls people out actively, big name fighters, and actively goes to do it. He shows up at the fight. And last time he was out, he shocked the world. And I think that more and more we get to see that, we see more fighters taking risks. I would love to see Terrence Crawford at some point talk about fighting Canelo in the future for his legacy. Love to see that because that's how you want your legacy to define. You fought the best. You went out fighting everybody in this era.
First, Canelo has to stop avoiding David Benavidez, and which is right now, that fight, I don't see that happening anytime soon now because Benavidez told the WBC just yesterday, I'm staying at light heavyweight because he wants to fight the winner of Vival Berdavid on October 12th for the light heavyweight title to get that winner. So I do not see Canelo doing that. However, someone's got to end up knocking Canelo off sooner or later. And the only guy right now at 168 would have been David Benavidez. No one else. There are guys there that have the capability, but Canelo knows how to pick and choose his opponents and keep winning to continue his legacy. David Benavidez would have been the guy, but you can see him at 175 where he wants to stay.
I actually appreciate the fact that David Benavidez actually moved up, just to get off topic here a little bit, because I don't want his whole career to be about chasing Canelo, right? You saw that once Canelo didn't give him the fight, he stopped worrying about it. That was Triple G's problem. Triple G went after Canelo too much. David Benavidez says, I'm going to go fight Caleb Plant and beat him. I'm going to go beat Boo Boo Andre. Like he kept going. And now he's at 175 light heavyweight, where there's Dmitry Bivol, who's a fighter of the year last year, and Artur Beterbiev has a 100% knockout percentage. Go be great. That's what I appreciate about this new wave of boxing. They're crazy, right? That's why I always think Sugar Ray Leonard is better than Floyd. It's that crazy. It's that crazy part of them. Bud Crawford going for 3 times undisputed in a new division, where I think he could go 4 times if he moves up again.
Crawford has said that probably 2-3 more fights left for his career. That's what he said. I mean, you hear that from fighters all the time. I don't strictly believe that.
No, either.
But
he wants to cash out.
But first, we got to we got to see what he does at 154 on his own, and not being a part of top rank. Very instrumental in his career. I don't want to get off subject with Terrence Crawford. You guys are talking about Ryan Garcia, who needs to realize that he's not going to fight again for another year unless he fights in Saudi Arabia, which could happen. And they got the money to do it, they want him, no matter what. But Ryan Garcia's got to get his head together first. And right now, he's headed towards doomsday with his own life. He's all over the place. Right now, he's in Japan. He was in Hawaii last week. Yet he told everyone he's going to rehab, and he's still not there. All right? His rehab is his ego. Once he gets rid of the ego. Ryan Garcia, I just have to dwell on it, could be one of the all-time greats in this sport. And I've been around the boxing for almost 44 years. Okay? He's got the talent, and he's got the persona, and he sells, but he doesn't have the mindset. He's sick, and he needs mental health, and he's admitted to that. He's got to get it before we can talk further about it. But just think about the fights that could be made in that division.
Yeah.
And Ryan Garcia was going to get suspended. And then we're not going to get Gervonta and Lomachenko, because Lomachenko said he's stepping aside the rest of the year and to be with his family. And it's not about the money, it's about his family and what's going on still in the Ukraine, which is a shame. But, you know, that would have been a great fight for the sport. All right? So now you got to look at Gervonta's next option. And that could be Pitbull Cruz.
Yes.
Fighting on that August 3rd card for the WBA, his title. You know, a lot of people don't give Pitbull Cruz the credit and how tough and how good he is, how strong he is. I mean, he can beat anyone in that division in 140. Anyone, even Shakur Stevenson. Where is he going next? Does Matchroom get him? Does Top Rank get him? And, you know, I'm in Yankee Stadium right now. You might hear it in the background. But I always talk boxing up here. Everyone knows that. So I'm talking to Ricky Ricardo, one of the Yankee broadcasters, who you guys know. And he picked my ear on the sport. And he said to me just a little while ago before we came on that the sport is dead, the boxing is dead. And I then again a dispute with him. I go, Rick, the sport's not dead. It's dead because people that don't follow it say it's dead. What are we talking about right now with boxing? We're talking about potential fights. We're talking about the big names that are drawing in the money. The only people that really know about it are guys like us because we're in the sport. But there are people out there that don't know how great and strong this sport is right now. And the names, the young superstars are a part of this sport. We just named a few. There's so many more. You know, when guys like can become free agents just like that, including Jaime Munguia right now. He left Golden Boy to go with Top Rank. Tell you how strong the sport is because they're pouring out the money for him. You know, so... but Ron Garcia is going to get his head together before we can even talk further about it.
Yeah. We pray for Ryan Garcia, but we appreciate his impact. Another young fighter, Devin Haney, right? Court of public opinion on Devin Haney has changed a lot because of his attitude towards his loss. But Devin Haney, I mean, at 25 years of age, one of the deeper resumes at 140 pounds, this side of Teofimo Lopez, who also has a very deep fight resume. So guys are just pushing the envelope forward. We're getting boxing matches that we actually want to see, and we're just getting back to boxing instead of just a fight.
Right, yeah, Devin Haney, Teofimo Lopez. Teofimo's going to fight again by the end of the year.
Yeah,
he's building, you know, Teofimo's had his mental breakdowns. We know that as well. But when you come down to it, he's all business. And to me, he could be the top fighter in that division.
I think he is already.
At 140. He could be.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a toss-up. But to me, he could be. And Devin Haney's far from over. You know, there's a lot of buzz about him not being interested right now. Yeah, it's going to take some time off. Yeah. All right? The one thing that Devin Haney has to do, and I hate to say this because I love the guy, his father, Bill, who I know well, but he's got to get away from his father. His father's his worst enemy.
Yeah.
He really is.
You know? Maybe he has to pull a Roy Jones. Maybe he doesn't have to pull a Roy Jones.
Exactly. Father-son combinations in the sport over the years have never worked out.
It gets sticky. It does indeed get very, very sticky there. But if we're going to talk about one boxer, I think that boxer has to be Gervonta Tank Davis. We saw what he did to Frank Martin in his last bout. And there's going to be a lot of guys fighting very, very soon. In New Ways fighting later on this year, Dubois is going to take on Joshua, Better Be Evan, Bivol Smackdown on the 12th. But I want to see Tank Davis again. And the Lomachenko thing fell through. Lomachenko wants to spend more time with his family. Everybody was talking about Tank and Shakur. I'm not interested in Shakur, especially after the last two showings against De Los Santos. And I forget the last fighter's name, excuse me, but I'm not interested in Shakur. I'm interested in either Tank Davis versus Andy Cruz. Tank Davis versus Keyshawn Davis, I think, is another big fight there.
I don't think Keyshawn is ready yet for a fight of that magnitude. I still think he needs two more before he can get to that level. However, what I could see, Shakur signing with Matchroom, which I think is going to happen. Top Rank's going to lose him. With Eddie Hearn's power, with the kings and princes of Saudi Arabia behind him, and Shakur there, and then the PBC is going to work with Eddie Hearn.
Yes, they are.
I think you're going to see it. I think you're going to see Shakur and Tank. I don't know if they'll happen tomorrow, but that's a fight that's going to happen. And I think it's all
jump in here.
The big thing is if Shakur does go with Eddie Hearn, and I'm hearing from my people that more and more that's likely to happen.
I mean, Zach, jump in here. Do you like that fight, Tank versus Shakur? I'm not the biggest fan.
Yes, I do. I do, because they're both young. They both have a lot riding on the line. Most of all, it's a fight that boxing fans want to see no matter what Shakur has done his last two fights. Okay? Gervonta wants him, Shakur wants him, and there's a lot of money involved. And still, fans are buzzing. They want to see that fight. And I do. I want to see that fight. Two of the young superstars in the sport at that division. I definitely want to see that fight, and I think it's marketable, and it still will be. And with Eddie Hearn signs him, which I think will be with Shakur, I think you're going to get it. Whether you like it or not, you're going to get it. That's why we keep it in the ring.
Wow.
Yeah, and no, that matchup is definitely exciting to me. I think that it's always good to, especially when you get these fighters when they're young, they're in their prime. They're on top of the world right now. Shakur Stevenson has been even though his performances haven't necessarily been the most exciting things recently, he's getting it done over and over again, proving why he's one of the best in the sport. So I think this is a great opportunity for Shakur, not just to go out there and fight Tank, but to kind of reverse the story a little bit on his career and how people think that, you know, people are starting to say he's a decision merchant is what they're calling him, or just a little bit boring. I think this is a perfect way to turn that around, because it's a risk. Because you're fighting Tank Davis, one of the more dangerous guy, if not the most dangerous guy in the sport, arguably the face of boxing in the more recent times. But if you can go in there and almost like Ryan Garcia, if you can go in there and get it done, shock the world, all of a sudden you're on the top. And I mean, I think this is the perfect risk to take. It's the perfect
back.
It's the perfect route to go to that.
Okay. I got to ask you two guys before I go, because I'm going to have to get going here. And we'll do this again, because it's good. I love the discussion. Your top, not top five, not top 10, your top three fighters right now in the sport.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to do Terrence Bud Crawford. He's going to be my first best switch hitter since Marvin Hagler. Probably the highest IQ. I love the way he shortens his shots, the whole thing. I think you're going to have to put Inoue there. I think you're going to have to put Inoue there, because I think Inoue and Bud are really in tandem. A lot of people forget.
No one talks about him because he fights in Japan, not here.
Japan, you saw what he did to Cool Boy Steph. The dude can box and he can knock you out. I think if you're talking in terms of skill, I'm going to have to leave off Bivol. I think Usyk, I know he's pound for pound number one. I'm probably going to have to leave him off. Give me Gervonta Tank Davis. I think he's one of the best boxers of all time. I think he's Archie Moore. I think he's Charles Burley. I think he's Ezra Charles. I think he's Sugar Ray Robinson. He's like that. The sweet science of bruising and a knockout. That's what Gervonta Tank Davis is. Give me those three guys.
It's tough for me, man, because I'm not gonna go in any particular order here, but I'm just gonna give you three names. I'm gonna go Gervonta Tank Davis. I think it speaks for himself and what he's done recently in the sport. And just the guy has kind of been untouchable as long as he's been in the ring now. And ever, as long as he's been in the spotlight, he puts dudes out unlike anybody else at that weight class. So I'm going to go Tank Davis. I'm going to go Usyk, because I think that becoming the undisputed heavyweight champ, beating Tyson Fury in the manner that he did, I think it's hard to take it away from him as one of the best boxers in the sport. And then for three, I got to say Inoue as well. It's going to be Inoue or Bud Crawford. I can't choose between the two. I think they're both great. If I had to pick one and leave one out, I'd maybe say Bud Crawford over Inoue, just because I'd like to see Inoue come over to the States or anywhere else in the world and fight more competition. Because Bud Crawford, after what he did to Errol Spence in one of his last fights, and just proving over and over again why he is the best, why he's the man, I think he's definitely in that top three. But it's really tough. Inoue's knocking on the door.
Well, you know, here's me. Always got Gervonta's number one because he's proved it. I agree with Zach. And because he fights more often than all the others. And he never backed down. People say, you know, starts off slow, but does he come on fast in the seventh and eighth round? All right? So I've got Gervonta, and then I like Canelo second.
Hello.
There's a toss-up, Canelo and Crawford. But those are my three. I have a top 10 all laid out in my latest column on NewYorkSportsDay.com, if you want to see it.
Ladies and gentlemen,
my top ten are there, and I explain why. But those are my top three. Regardless, guys, the sport to me, controversial, subjective, with three minor judges, and Shockey Forster is going to get the rematch that he deserves because the title was robbed, taken right off his waist. The featherweight, and he'll be champion again. The sport needs a national commission, needs unity, needs reform. We know that. That may never happen, at least in my lifetime. Too much money, too many promoters, too many of the alphabet soup banks and organizations. Whatever. The sport is healthy, it's thriving, but it's got to get more of that mainstream pub again. And the only way to do that is we have to keep getting it out there, and we have to keep advocating for it. To me, and I love all sports, but I grew up with boxing, so it's my love, it's my passion. the best sport in the world. And the only way it's going to get to where it was way before you guys were born, when I saw it in its greatest eras, and I saw Ali, I saw Frazier, and I saw Hearns, Hagler, Leonard, Duran, all those guys. I covered all those fights. And boxing was so powerful then, and it was mainstream publicity on the front and back pages of newspapers that we don't have no more. Now it's all social media, so that doesn't help it much. But to get there, we have to keep saying, despite the controversy, despite the adversity that goes on, let's face it, there's a lot of that in sport. We need to keep talking about the positives of this sport and the young superstars that are making this sport where it's at right now, making a lot of money and giving the sport the exposure it needs. And most of all, the promoters have to keep working together. As Oscar De La Hoya says it all the time, put the big fights together. That's what the fans want. And that's what we got to do. And the streaming networks have heard it. We need it back on network TV, which will never happen. That's never going to happen. We tried, they tried. It doesn't get the ratings. We don't have enough people out there that want to watch the sport. But I'll tell you one thing. You two guys love the sport, and I love the sport, and we need more of that to get the word out.
We need to get the word out, and as the great Rich Mancuso always says, keep it in the ring, / octagon. A native and still a residing resident of the Bronx, New York, Rich Mancuso has been an accomplished and award-winning sports journalist for the past 30 years. He is the founder / operations manager and sports journalist for www.keepitintheRing.net. Rich, thank you so much for joining us.
And NewYorkSportsDay.com and LatinoSports.com, and don't forget, you can watch me every Thursday night, 8 p.m. live on YouTube on my channel. I want you guys to like it, comment, and most of all, subscribe. I need you.
You hurt the man. You hurt the man. Richard Mancuso, ladies and gentlemen.
Keep it in the ring, guys. Thank you.
Keep it in the ring. I have been Mahdi Dembele, joined by the wonderful Zach Cordova. Pound for Pound is a production of WFUV Sports. Good night and good games.